Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is Liberty Roundtable Live for August the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Chuck Baldwin wrote an incredible column that we want to point out to you. Donald Trump and the GOP are exploding the growth of deficit spending. And Chuck Baldwin nails it. Great, great article. He says this: anyone that believes the Republican Party is conservative, especially in the area of federal spending, is seriously deluded. He said, I've said for years the only difference between Democrats and Republicans is Democrats want to tax and spend. Republicans want to borrow and spend so they can lower taxes. Both parties simply want to spend. Donald Trump is no exception. Interesting. What do you think of this, Kurt?
Well, I will say this, that, you know, in my opinion, there's so much more that could be done. But when you look at, you know, even just the one instant comes to mind real quick to me is the situation there in Israel or Jerusalem where they did the embassy. And, you know, the way I recall and, you know, seen a number of the reports, there was a whole lot more spending that was going to go on that. And in that situation, and the president said no, and you know, a lot less spending happened. Then, if I remember right, on Air Force One, it was the same situation. I believe there are some big differences in him and the standard, you know, insider Republicans we've had for many years. On the other hand, I'm not telling you he's, you know, pure as the driven snow.
Yeah, so Chuck Baldwin's column continues. He says this: it's huge. U.S. budget deficit under Donald Trump rises 21%, widest gap in 6 years. The U.S. is headed towards its, quote, largest annual deficit in 6 years, according to reports. And the bottom line is the tax laws and heavy military spending are the reasons for the spiraling vortex of national debt. What he's saying here is that, you know what, there might be cuts certain spots. Kurt, you're spot on that. However, as a whole, he's just putting the money in different places is all. But the spending is with reckless abandon. The Trump White House, for example, sharply altered its current U.S. deficits estimates up, way up, now projecting that the annual deficit will now rise above $1 trillion for the first time since 2013. And you got a $76.9 billion deficit for July alone, primarily due to increased military spending. They say Steve Mnuchin, he's at the U.S. Treasury Department, that they called him the, quote, foreclosure king. He observed in the first 10 months alone of the 2018 fiscal year, the U.S. deficit totaled $684 billion. That's a startling 20-plus percent rise over the previous period in 2017. U.S. government revenue is only up 1% in 2018 to date. So there you have it. Kind of an interesting insight here from Chuck Baldwin. They say government spending, particularly by the military, has risen over 4.4%. And there you have it. So the problem is the interest payments on the debt, as long as we, you know, by the lie of dishonest money, the interest payments on the debt jumped an astonishing 41% in July. So the question is, can the system even sustain that kind of increased interest responsibilities? They say that U.S. congressional budget analysts are estimating that the 2018 budget will be 19% larger than that of the 2017 budget. Anyway, there you go. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, my key thought would be is, wouldn't it be nice, Sam, if we were working on this federal budget? And, or, you know, our buddies like in that movie, in the movie Dave, you know, where he gets this pal that's a CPA and says, man, you know, I mean, if I ran my business like this, I'd be out of business. And you know, I mean, so much could be done. You talked about getting rid of, you know, the overseas spending, or in other words, the handing out of our money to, you know, other countries. So much less military spending is needed or necessary. And, you know, I'm not talking about just military, but so much of it. I really, truly believe that we could pretty much have about a 90% less of federal government and be pretty much about where we need to be. But
amen to that. And I think we start with the foreign aid and the military spending, because if we just basically get rid of a lot of the foreign aid, we don't have any business stealing from Americans to give foreign aid. We don't have any business putting our children in hock on the altar of helping out other countries necessarily. It's one thing to help if you have it, but if you don't have it, hey, steal from one, put one into literal financial servitude on the altar of another doesn't make much sense. That's pretty easy to explain. And so we would reject the foreign aid. Secondly, though, when it comes to the military, look, we need to take a good hard look at what is a humble military. What military would truly defend America, which is what it's all about, what it's for, and not meddle in foreign nations? And what would be a humble defense of America, super strong defense of the United States? You know, what would that look like? And I submit to you, between those two things, you would have a significant reduction. The third thing I would look at is all these, what do they call it, the third rail of politics, which is like Social Security and Medicaid, Medicare. In other words, these handout domestic welfare kind of programs. You would say, well, they're not welfare, Sam. They steal from your whole life, and then they pretend to give back to you. That's right. But it's a pay-as-you-go system, and so the money's gone on the former generation, so to speak. And all I'm telling you is that when you look at those Ponzi schemes, those are the three areas that we've got the biggest crisis: the internal welfare, the external foreign aid, and the out-of-control world's cop military that we think we are. Those three things are primarily the cause of the problem. That coupled with dishonest money, in other words, this inflationary money where money is created out of thin air and then we act like it has real value when it doesn't. You couple those all together and, hey, there's your problem, Kurt, pretty simply articulated. But anyway, Donald Trump's exploding the spending, sad to say, and we pray it gets better. But we wanted to highlight that report from Chuck Baldwin because it is a spot-on reality check that we cannot overlook.
All right, would also add real quick that Congress is not without guilt here.
That's why it says Donald Trump and the GOP, right?
Yeah, okay. They're the guys with the purse strings, if you will.
Well, we think that. I'm not so sure, though. They've simply turned the purse strings over to other people.
If they really would do their duty, then, hey, there shouldn't be a penny being spent by the federal government that's not approved by Congress.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself. The sad part is that's not what we have today. For example, when you turn over this hidden inflation to the Federal Reserve, you've lost half your authority right there.
That's so true,
Sam. I mean, we talked about just the other day on Friday. You buy a house, the average cost of a house in 1940 was $3,000. Today, it's like $300,000. What's the difference? And the answer is belligerent inflation due to dishonest money. And Congress literally turned those purse strings or turned that control over to a private banking cartel called the Federal Reserve. And then whenever the Congress wants to get a handle on it, they go, wait a minute, we got to keep this private banking cartel separate from Congress scrutiny because we don't want to make it political. And they literally, and so that's why I say I agree with you, the purse strings should be Congress, but they've literally handed them over, sadly. So it is Donald Trump and the GOP. They're exploding the growth of deficit spending. It's not only happening at the federal level, it's happening at the states' levels as well, Kurt. Because what the states are doing is they're basically not balancing their budgets. They're relying on an influx of federal government money to balance their own budgets. That's as unconstitutional as it gets as well. All right, we stand for the flag, Kurt. I guess a high school cheerleading group created T-shirts, and they say that the T-shirt is politically divisive, even racist, writes TheBlaze.com. Did you see this, Kurt?
No. Can you say it one more time?
Well, we stand for the flag, is what this cheerleading group in high school is saying. So they created a T-shirt to promote that, and they're saying it's divisive and racist. TheBlaze.com with the details. And the cheerleading team at Dodge County High School in Eastman, Georgia, created a T-shirt, Kurt. And the T-shirt was to raise money for their cheerleading, right? The shirt reads this, quote, "In Dodge County, we stand for the flag, kneel for the cross. That's Indian pride."
Because they're the Indians. This is racist. Kurt. Yeah, and this is racist.
Absolutely. It's divisive, it's racist, it's hate-filled. And
that's all you got to do.
They're literally getting shut down, buddy.
The R word.
Yeah, you imagine standing for the flag like that, buddy? Kneeling for the cross. Who do you think you are? In other words, they're saying we stand for the country.
That's where they went across the line. I mean,
I hear that.
I mean,
hey, we believe in God, family, and country. And they said racist and just shut them right on down. Anyway, the big T-shirt's in question now, Kurt.
I think we better buy some of those.
Amen to that. All right, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. Our prayers are with those folks kneeling for the cross.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby on your radio. Man, Donald Trump's in the news all the time. I think he's taken over all news. Everything news has to relate to Donald. He's a one-man, star-studded news magnet. Well, it's a little out of control. Anyway, Donald Trump's, quote, military parade has been postponed after budget concerns, they say. I guess Defense Department officials say that it could cost more than $90 million, and it was so expensive they shut it down. They say that it might revive itself back in the future in 2019, something like that. I'm sure Trump wants to get a military parade off right before the election, but I'm against the military parade in the first place, Kurt.
Well, it does kind of promote the whole you know, offensive kind of idea. Now, the one thing it might do, is demonstrate the fact that, you know, we are prepared to defend ourselves. I mean, it's possible that, you know, we could show that instead of, but too many times it looks like we're promoting, you know, the whole idea of offensive military actions instead of just defensive, which is what we're supposed to use the military for.
Yeah, we had military parades in America before, Kurt, you know?
Well, I don't remember. I mean, you know, I remember, I mean, typically on almost any parade, you'll see military parts. I mean, you'll get the Marines or the Navy or the, you know, the Air Force or whatever. Like, I know when they have the big old, you know, deal for the 4th of July in Provo, which is called America's, what is it, Freedom Celebration or something like that, they call it. They typically have a flyover by the, you know, the Air Force, and they certainly have, you know, the guys dressed up for the flag, and, you know, they'll have the 21-gun salutes or whatever. I don't know if you call that a military parade, but you're going to have, you know, the presence there and that kind of thing, and so I don't think this is anything really brand new idea. I guess you could, it just all depends on how it would to come up. I do believe that he's trying to say, look, those guys who we've kind of put on the back burner for a long time, and we've said, hey, you know, we'll pay the IRS employees more than we pay our guys out there catching bullets. You know, something's wrong with that picture. And I agree with him on that area.
Yeah, some are going belligerent and saying we have a Napoleon here, said Representative Jackie Stair of California. You know, Twitter was in rare form as everybody kind of went ballistic saying, hey, Donald Trump is kind of like a dictator. But you know what? I don't see it that way. I think we have a long history of parades that are military-esque in America. Now, could it be that Donald Trump is taking this a little too far? Yes. However, let's be clear. As Kurt wisely says, we've had military in parades literally since the beginning of America. And we need to kind of understand this. And it's, instead of getting a belligerent, you know, they're saying, hey, one step closer to the tyranny. You know, all hail to Kim Jong-un, whatever. I don't see it that way. I see it as we should show appreciation for those who put themselves in harm's way for America. And it's appropriate to understand that we should have a legitimate understanding of an appreciation for our defense. But we need to be very careful not to cross the line into turning into a warlike people. And how do you kind of have that proper perspective, if you will? And that, I think, is what we're discussing. And that's where one side gets all belligerent, like we shouldn't have the parade. Donald's trying to be a Napoleon dictator. And others try to say, oh, the parade's awesome. You got to have it. And it's incredible, and promote the military. Otherwise, you're not patriotic. And I think both sides are over the top in their rhetoric, Kurt.
Yeah, I agree.
So what do you think? You think he's going to have this parade?
I don't know. I think he has nice events around the country wherever he goes, and I don't see that, you know, we really need to spend money on a federal one. But, you know, I think he could certainly just invite, you know, any part of the military wherever he goes to be part of the event, thanking them and, you know, promoting them and saying, hey, how much we appreciate them, you know, that kind of thing would be fine. I just think you ought to say, look, we're just going to be careful with our money and also thank our military.
Yeah, some of the first presidents of the United States attend a military parade for the 4th of July, Kurt. We haven't had one in D.C. for quite a while, but it used to be more common. Did you know that? Including John Adams in 1798. Wow, held in America's then capital of Philadelphia, Thomas Jefferson, in 1803 and 1804. These parades were much smaller than maybe a Donald Trump-esque parade, but the largest military parade in American history, Kurt?
Yeah, so is our budget much larger than it used to be, you know, and our deficit is way bigger than it used to be.
Amen to that. You know when the biggest military parade was in America, Kurt?
No, I don't.
Come on, Kurt. What's wrong with your history, buddy?
Well, I mean, I just...
You're human. You're like the rest of us.
School. What can
they don't teach us this stuff. They don't highlight the reality. And this is where the news, in my opinion, is so off the rails. What they want to do is highlight this extreme. Either you're a warmonger and you want the parade, or, you know, you're saying Donald Trump's a belligerent authoritarian, going to move us into a dictatorship kind of thing. You know, you got these two extremes that the mainstream press is peddling, and I reject both of them. I say, look, there's nothing wrong with being grateful for our military and the defense of the greatest, freest country on the face of the earth. There is a line there. But here's when the biggest parade that was military-esque happened in the United States at the federal level. You ready, Kurt? 1865, yes, at the close of the Civil War.
That's quite a while back.
Yeah, but in my mind, Kurt, that's an appropriate reason to have a parade of military-esque to say, hey, we're so thankful that we're out of war.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, I mean, there was over 200,000 soldiers at that, dude, Kurt.
Wow.
It was an impressive display of the greatest army ever assembled in the Western Hemisphere. Now, you got to be careful there, because I don't believe we should have a long-term standing army. But again, I celebrate the idea that we're going to have a military parade at the end of a war, celebrating that we're done with war, that we can get back to peacetime. So there you have it. Military parades were thrown after World War I and World War II as well. And they were continued throughout the Cold War. For example, in 1953, there was a military parade, Kurt, featuring tanks and an atomic cannon. It was held for, quote, President Dwight Eisenhower and his inauguration. They repeated this performance in 1957. Even President John F. Kennedy had a parade at his inauguration in 1961 that featured various military hardware and, quote, nuclear warheads. Of course, the military, you know, parades came to a halt during the Vietnam War because there were so many people that were anti the Vietnam War. I only bring it up, Kurt, because I think it's appropriate to understand. Now, the last one was in 1991 at the close of the first Gulf War in Iraq. It was hosted as a sign of thanks to troops for a job well done, as seen as an important healing moment for the country and the military. So the point that I'm getting at is not only do we have a history of parades in America, Kurt, but we have a history of parades when we are ending wars, beginning wars.
And a key part, yeah, that's very important. A key part here is, you know, the standard media is telling you this about Trump as if he's the first one to ever want to do it, and he's just some kind of crazy president. And yet, you know, if you couple it, that in, you know, the story about him wanting it with all the info about how many times it's been done in the past, that would kind of mess up the picture, wouldn't it?
Exactly, and that's why I spend the time to highlight it, because I just think there's propaganda on both sides. Those who say Donald Trump's promoting tyranny, acting like he's the first guy ever to do this, he's just full of himself, and then on the other side acting like, oh man, if you're not for this, you know, you got to promote war at every turn, you got to be as hawkish as could be. Both are just completely out in the weeds, off the charts, bogus. And so I thought some common sense and some education about the truth of the matter would be helpful right here on Liberty Roundtable Live. So there you have it. All right, Jack Phillips, Kurt. He's the guy of Masterpiece Cake Shop. He's the baker that won a United States Supreme Court case. I guess he's now sued the governor of Colorado, alleging they violated his rights, Kurt. They discriminated against him, and so he's suing. And we'll break that down in a second just for you, ladies and gentlemen. The cake maker, you thought it was over, huh? Not so fast. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do, At some point, you're going to wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio. Jack Phillips, Masterpiece Bakery. He won the United States Supreme Court case. He doesn't have to bake cakes for the gay and lesbians. Nevertheless, the interesting tidbit about this is he's suing the state of Colorado, the governor there, alleging the state discriminated against him, Kirk. You want to respond to this one?
So how did the state discriminate against him?
Well, they didn't defend him, first of all.
Okay, well, he's probably got a case there. I
mean, you know, and secondly, they participated and allowed this kind of to go on. And, you know, I mean, I appreciate that it goes all the way to the federal Supreme Court, but it had to go through all the what, appellate courts and state stuff before it got there, didn't it, Kurt?
I'm sure it did.
And there's a town or a, you know, whatever, a county, and where there's a licensed business there. And, you know, if they're going to grant him a license, they need to protect his license that they made him pay for, right? And it goes right on down the line.
Great point.
What was the governor doing to defend him?
Probably not a peep, I would
bet. There you go. Kind of an interesting case, and I agree with Jack Phillips. They're going to take this one all the way to the bank, Kurt.
I hope they do.
Yes, sir.
Teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
I hope, you know.
Yeah. Wow. Kind of an interesting twist, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there you have it. Jack Phillips. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. All right, a man is in the news, Kurt.
A man?
Yeah. And he stabbed this dude.
Okay.
So here's what happened, man. according to the Blaze, this pizza guy is coming to deliver pizza. Knocks on the door. Hey, man, pizza man. People open the door, gives him the pizza, gets the cash. All's good. Close the door. The people go back in the house and start eating pizza. The pizza man getting ready to get back in his car, and some thug comes up and starts stabbing him.
Ouch.
Because the guy wanted to stab him and try to rob the pizza delivery guy. See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the pizza delivery guy, Kurt, was he had what they call a stab me not.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Yes, he did, brother. So the victim, meaning the pizza guy, had a gun in his car, and he went and got that dude.
Yeah.
And the tables turned fast, writes the Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just saying, I'm not really for the stabbing, and I'm not really for the gun. But I am for the stab me not, and I am for the rob me not. And the bottom line is the thug, you know, had to leave, Kurt.
Yeah, he vacated the premises.
He just decided, I'm going to stab you not, and I'm going to rob you not.
I'm moving from here.
Yes, sir. And so the people that were eating pizza heard all this commotion outside, and they come out, and they're like, what the heck's going on? And they saw the pizza dude with a gun stopping the thug. As far as I understand, everybody's clapping and having a good time. Not that the guy got stabbed in attempted robbery or anything, but just that, you know, criminals got stopped. And see, that's the point. Good guys with guns do good things.
That's right.
Good stuff. Got it? Good. Thanks. CNN commentators in the news, Kurt. Do you know who this chick named Angela Rye is? Angela Rye. R-Y-E. Angela Rye. She's a CNN commentator. You know this chick?
No.
See. Kurt, you're supposed to be watching the news page,
man. I just don't watch CNN. I mean, I don't really watch hardly any TV, you know? I mean,
Kurt, they have got the babes on there, bro.
I'm just out of touch. Okay. That's another reason not to watch it.
Amen. Anyway, it turns out that she agrees with Governor Cuomo. Says America was never great, Kurt. Do you agree with the CNN commentator and the governor? Now, this guy's sworn an oath to the country that he claims was never great. She literally is the news reporter, who, what, when, where, why, stories in a nation that was never great, giving both these people tremendous opportunities, Kurt.
Mm.
I don't even understand it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention, though. I mean, these people are just unhinged. They're nuts. They're crazy. Speaking of that, do you know who Enrique Acevedo is, Kurt? You should know this guy, too. Kurt, come on. This guy's a Univision star.
Okay. Well, like I say, one more reason for me not to know him.
You remember hanging out with me at Univision, man.
Yeah, I remember us going and talking to those guys, but I mean, it's just not something I do. You know?
I hear that. Anyway, so this Enrique Acevedo or whatever, this guy basically, he suggests Jeff Sessions is a hypocrite. Now, I agree with this Univision guy, except we completely disagree on why Jeff is a hypocrite, Kurt. So I say Jeff's a hypocrite because he's not standing for the rule of law, and he's allowing innocents to go to prison while he's letting Hillary run around loose. Okay, so he's a hypocrite on that score. He's a hypocrite in that he kind of backed away from the Donald battle when he should have stood strong and not advocated his responsibility to others. Okay, so I say Jeff Sessions is a hypocrite, but not for the reasons that this, quote, Univision star, Enrique Acevedo, says. You want to know why Enrique says he's a hypocrite, Kurt?
Sure.
Because he ate dinner at a Mexican restaurant. I mean, how dare Jeff?
Yeah, there you go.
See, here's the deal. Jeff is the anti-Mexican guy, right?
I didn't know he was an anti-Mexican.
Hold on, Kurt. I mean, you can't think through this. You just got to accept he's the anti-Mexican guy. You don't have a seat at this table to tell the truth or to lay it out logically or morally or independently or See, that's how they go, and that's what this guy's doing. In my opinion, exactly what he's doing to Jeff Sessions. Now, I think Jeff Sessions has a lot of problems, but over this, now go, Kurt, because your point's well taken. I just want to say that's what they do to lie about what Jeff Sessions. This is where I have a problem with it and why we're bringing it up. Kurt, go ahead.
If Jeff Sessions was doing his job and making it so that anybody that was, you know, trying to come into America that came in illegally, I don't care what color they were, then I'd have no problem with him, you know, because We're talking about laws that are supposed to be followed. If we've got laws that are not right, then we need to eliminate them, not just not follow them. You know?
That's right. And so they're saying because he likes Mexican food, and then he's kind of disingenuous on this immigration thing. And my response is, wait a minute, stop. No one says that Jeff Sessions is anti-Mexican. I don't think that's the discussion. And that's where I have a problem with this. But that's the kind of the view they're painting. Kurt's right. I don't see where Jeff Sessions is anti-Mexican. I see that he's simply saying we're anti-illegal activity. We are pro-legal. And if people immigrate to America and they have a restaurant and it's good food, I'm in. And that's exactly the way I feel, Kurt. But they want to turn this into a racial manipulation of dishonesty, suggesting that somehow, you know, Jeff Sessions or Sam Bushman or Kurt Crosby, we just hate Mexicans. It's just a bogus idea. And this is where this Univision guy's just absolutely off the rails, Kurt. You're spot on. But imagine, hey, man, Jeff Sessions is a hypocrite because he went to a Mexican restaurant. Well, anyway, Tucker Carlson battled this Enrique dude on the air about this. Here's what happened. Tucker Carlson said, I like tacos, man. Kind of comical in my opinion, because you know what, Kurt? I dig tacos too, man.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Do you like tacos, Kurt?
Yeah.
See?
Taco fan, I guess you'd say, you know.
I mean, it's just insanity. The discussions that go on are just so illogical and so psychotic, so emotionally charged, so divisionary in nature. It's beyond imagination that you can even have an intelligent discussion about this with these people. So anyway, Tucker just basically said, well, I like tacos. There you go. Wow. Anyway, one of my favorite Mexican dishes, I have two favorite Mexican dishes probably. One is chilaquiles. Phenomenal food. The second one,
what
by the way.
What are they called?
Chilaquiles.
Huh. I don't even know what that is. Never heard of it.
Yeah, again. You got to look them up, Kurt, so you can read about them, buddy. You got to have those.
That's
man.
Right. You're the Spanish expert.
Yeah, I like huevos con chorizo quite a bit, too. Those are both breakfast foods, by the way. And then for dinner, one of my favorite is, believe it or not, a chimichanga mixed with steak and pork. If you have a carne asada and a carnitas smothered, fried chimichanga, I mean, they are just phenomenal. That and a bunch of ripping hot sauce, dude. I mean, you're in heaven. But I think it's probably just because I hate Mexicans, Kurt. See how dishonest their lives really are, Kurt? I mean, they're just over the top.
Yep.
And the Mexican restaurant was trying to defend Jeff Sessions, trying to say, we serve everyone. And then they literally start abusing and threatening the life of this Mexican restaurant owner. And the guy's just like, man, I don't even want your politics. I'm just telling you, when people come, we try to serve them. Imagine an idea like that, Kurt.
Crazy.
And what's fascinating is if the tables are turned, then they'd be like, oh, man, you got to serve everybody. But now that it's, say, a Jeff Sessions or a conservative, the double standard just rolls out. And it's like, wait a minute. You got to challenge them everywhere they go. You got to just shut them down. You got to just pull out the Nancy Pelosi card, right? But it's just crazy talk. Wow. All right. Black vote support for Donald Trump is at an all-time high, Kurt. 36%, almost double from last year, according to a new poll. Kurt will break that down in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I would call this a racist poll. That's just my opinion. But they say that support for the Donald among black voters is at 36%. It's almost double what it was even a year ago. And do you want to respond to this first, Kurt?
Well, Sam, remember the old phrase when Bill Clinton would say, "It's the economy, stupid."
Yes, sir.
Well, as far as I can tell, you know,
it's the economy, stupid.
People, yeah, it's the same old thing. You know, you got more people with a job, including, I mean, all different colors of the rainbow, and
yeah, for there's this term that includes all that. You know what it is?
Prosperity,
Americans.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there's jobs for Americans, Kurt.
Yeah, and even illegal aliens are probably getting lots of jobs. But wouldn't it be? I mean, just imagine if it was only legal Americans that were getting the jobs.
Amen.
And the people that we knew were good people were being allowed to come in, you know, and live in America and make America greater or better or great again.
Amen. I'm even okay, Kurt, if you come and you're not an American citizen, but you're here on a green card or you're here for the right reasons. In other words, you followed the law to be here. I'm okay with you being here, too.
Yeah.
What, you want to know why?
Not okay for those ones that are breaking the law.
Yeah, you want to know why I'm okay with it?
Because
it's
lawful.
Legal. It's lawful, yeah. That's exactly why.
Imagine that.
And I didn't even bring up race. But I think it's racist to even track, though, these you know, black voters this and Asian voters that and Hispanic or Latino voters such and such. And what if I said white voters this, then I'm a racist or whatever? Why don't we just talk about American voters, Kurt? We all should have the same goals in mind, which is to have prosperity and safety and stability and the proper role of government and jobs and family and the good things. And I mean, I don't understand how we would have different agendas, Kurt. What's the different agenda? What would be the difference between Sam, a white guy, a Mexican guy, an Asian guy, and a black guy? Shouldn't we all want the same things, Kurt?
Yes.
Imagine that. But see, why are they even, you know, carving out this group called black voters and then saying, hey, the support from blacks to the Donald has increased? What am I supposed to take from that? I'm just saying I'm glad that support for proper role of limited government's increased and support for tyranny and out of control spending is decreasing and good people are doing good things. And I want to unite people, not divide people. And this is what I find so fascinating about this. I report it because the mainstream press tells you over and over and over and over that black support for Donald is just in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this kind of flies in the face of that discussion. But I don't know why we're even dividing voters into sliced up pieces that can be lobbied to with different agendas to pit one another against each other and everything. I don't understand that at all. I will say there's good news, though, Kurt. You remember who Michelle Wolf is? She's the lady that did the White House dinner roast or whatever, and she got up and spoke, and she was the lady that we highlighted that was celebrating murder and abortion. And, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. She was the one that What's
I was wondering for a sec if she was related to Wolf Blitzer, but that wouldn't work.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she was the one that mocked her for being a moral woman and that kind of stuff. And anyway, I got good news. Yeah. Michelle Wolf's talk show has been canceled by Netflix after just 3 months. Lack of support, lack of interest, Kurt.
Wow. Imagine that.
The same. Good guys get one.
Yeah.
And the reason that I'm against her, you know, you would say, well, Sam, wait a minute. Don't you always talk about free speech and she has the right to say what she wants? Yes, that's right. But Netflix also has the right to say, we don't want to promote your smut and your immorality anymore. Mm-hmm. They have that right, too. So there you go. Wow. I thought that was pretty interesting. All right, Kurt, you want to talk about empty hotels and idle boats, huh?
Well, Sam, it was interesting to me to see... It looks like Sam. You know, there are people that they're affected when you know they don't get customers, and I know it's kind of shocking, but you know, I guess they're in communist China. This is a Reuters piece, by the way. The headline reads: "Empty hotels, idle boats." What happens when a Pacific island upsets China? Now, that's the headline of the actual article. The headline from Drudge Report is Empty Hotels, Idle Boats. What happens when island upsets communists? I just thought it was kind of cool how the Drudge Boys switched around China for communists, because it's the fact, Sam.
Well, that, anyway, again, that's how the mainstream press manipulates it. Makes you believe China's just our most favored nation trading partner, and they're awesome, and Russia's your evil enemy.
Good point.
Now, I'm not defending Russia that they're our best friends. I'm just saying this is where the manipulation goes on, right? To where,
I guess,
you know, it's very hard to even know the truth of issues, Kurt, these days.
I guess there's some place, I agree, I guess there's some place called Palau, P-A-L-A-U, and then the town's name is Koror, K-O-R-O-R. I've just never heard of it. But it says empty hotel rooms, idle tour boats, and shuttered travel agencies reveal widening fissures in the tiny Pacific nation of Palau, which is, they say, caught in an escalating diplomatic tug-of-war between China and Taiwan. I guess late last year, China effectively banned tour groups to this, real pretty little place. They call it an idyllic tropical archipelago. Those are pretty fancy words, but, you know, it's a pretty area, apparently. They branded it an illegal destination due to its lack of, they call it, diplomatic status. As China extends its influence across the Pacific, Palau is one of Taipei's 18 remaining allies worldwide. So when you say Taipei, you're talking about Taiwan.
Yeah, are we one of them, Kurt? Guys,
I don't know, Sam. I hope we are. At least I thought we were supposed to be friends to all freedom lovers.
I agree, but I don't think so, my friend.
Yeah, well, we act like we're kind of on two sides of the, you know, two faces here, it seems like. But anyway, they've had less folks going. They say hotel blocks and restaurants stand empty. You know, it seemed like, though, if they were empty, you'd see some killer bargains for folks to head over there. I just haven't seen it, you know. But anyway, that's just something interesting to me. Maybe you ought to take a trip to Palau, Sam, if they had some killer bargains, you know. Might be,
I can't afford it, Kurt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, why have empty places, empty hotel rooms and shuttered boats or boats that aren't moving around and no people in the restaurants? Wouldn't they just lower the prices and get more people to come?
You know, that's what you would hope.
But anyway,
but there you
I don't
have
understand
it.
Business, you know. I mean,
of course you don't.
Yeah,
that's because you just think logically about these things, and you're not allowed to think logically these days, my friend.
Yeah,
it's dangerous for your health. Speaking of that, another. I guess we go from one communist regime to another. By the way, I stand for an independent Taiwan personally.
Yeah, I mean, imagine independence.
Oh, yeah.
Freedom and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, man. And if you look at our hemisphere versus theirs, you got Cuba, which is what? I don't know if you call them independent, but they're certainly separate from the United States. But China's going to flex their muscle and force Taiwan to go along, and there's going to be an epic battle over that someday. I pray there won't, but I predict there will. It continues to fester. So there you have it. All right, going to another, communist country, Kurt, for kind of an update of what happens when you allow communism to prosper?
Yeah, you're talking about Venezuela?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I am, sir.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, they say they're launching one of the greatest currency devaluations in history. Now, you know, the one thing really nice about Venezuela, it makes the American dollar seem like, wow, it's the cat's meow, you know. But, that's what they say now down there. What happened is they say they've had a 95% plunge. Now, that's a pretty good size plunge. In other words, say you got $100, all of a sudden it's worth $5. They say that they got some troubles foreseen in the next little while. And I'm like, yeah, no kidding. They say the official rate for the currency is going to go from about $285,000 per each dollar. So in other words, if you got a dollar bill, you get 285,000 of theirs. That's the official rate. But it's going to change to $1 for every 6 million. So that's kind of a big difference, wouldn't you think, Sam?
A huge difference.
Yeah. And what I think is interesting, now, the president down there boasted in a Friday night announcement that the International Monetary Fund wasn't involved in these policies. Yeah, I mean, because if you get the International Monetary Fund, everything will be all straightened out real good. They say better times are ahead for Venezuela, but I don't see it, Sam.
Well, here's my attitude. This is what happens to every nation eventually that backs fiat currency, Kurt.
Yeah.
Let's be clear about that. And countries that peg their, you know, economies on honest money, constitutional currency, if you will, gold and silver, honest weights and measures, as the biblical account reads, then you begin to understand that, hey, we're headed the same direction, Kurt. Look, back in 1940, you could buy a house for $3,000. Now it costs $300,000. We may be taking a little bit longer to get there because we still have some free market principles and some common sense in our economy. But as Donald Trump and the GOP explode the deficits fast, you see us heading in the same direction, albeit the slow boat to China. And I mean that literally because China is fueling much of our demise while they build up their military like no other. There's a massive story, which we don't have time to get to, talking about just that very thing, that China's taking every penny in the massive trade deficits we have with them, and they're using it to build their military infrastructure like you have never seen before. So I don't know what you think about that, Kurt, but it's getting scary fast.
Well, yeah, you know, as compared to Venezuela, I guess America's like a wonderful place, but...
You guess?
You know, wouldn't it be...
Well, I'm positive.
I'm sure. But wouldn't it be cool if, you know, every country was like, man, we got the best money. You know, ours is backed by more silver and more gold than yours. And, you know,
ours is 100% backed by honesty.
Yeah. I mean,
by intrinsic value, by honest weights and measures. Our prayers are with the folks in Venezuela.
Yeah.
And our prayers are with the Taiwanese.
Yeah.
That's how we roll. And I hope we can look at us voters as Americans across the board and say what's good for one American ought to be good for another American. And if it isn't, if there's a disparity or a divide, government ought not do it at all. Just my humble two cents. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We need your money, your support to grow our presence in the media. LibertyRoundtable.com and LibertyNewsRadio.com. Telling the tale of liberty every day on your favorite news the networks refuse to use station. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.